Hey friends, I'm Brian Dwyer, and you're listening to the Sermon Link podcast from Pursue God. Today's message was originally recorded at Alpine Church in Utah. We've adapted this sermon into a series designed for deeper conversation with your family, your small group, or your mentor. You can find the full series and resources at pursuegod.org.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, and I'm Pastor Brian. If you have your Bibles, you can turn somewhere to Hebrews chapter 4 or 5, somewhere in there. We'll get there in a second. In 2018, a story went viral. I don't know if you remember this. There was a 30-year-old man named Michael Rotondo, and he lived with his parents, and he refused to work. He refused to pay for rent. He refused to do chores around the house. And his parents looked at him and they were so exasperated, they didn't know what to do, so they sued him. Google it, Michael Rotondo. This is a true story. They took him to court and they went to the judge and they said, "We've done everything that we can for this guy. We love him, he's our son, but it's time for him to move out." Can I get an amen right now? Can I get I can hear just all around the country, people are saying amen. The internet had a field day. By the way, the judge ruled in the parents' favor, and they said, "You got to get out. You got to be evicted." He said, "This is ridiculous. This is outrageous. I can't believe." I mean, could you just imagine for a couple of days as this 30-year-old grown man is like making excuses for why he's still sitting in his parents' basement and not participating, not contributing at all, just playing video games all day long. And we laugh at that story, and you can still read all of the reaction to it. It's kind of funny. It's kind of comical. But actually, today, as we get into the text for today, we're going to see that the author of Hebrews, today we're in week 5 of our Hebrews series, the author of Hebrews is basically looking at the church, and he's saying, "You are Michael Rotondo." We're calling this message today, Failure to Launch. You grew up in this church. God has fed you with his word. And all you do is sit there and take it in and you never actually apply it in your life. And so we're going to take a look at one of the warning passages of Hebrews. Hebrews, remember, starts off kind of like a sermon. It ends like a letter, but it starts off more like a sermon. And this was probably a letter that was read to the churches back then, 2,000 years ago. These would have been house churches, not churches like Alpine so much in large meeting places, but house churches. And the letter would have been read to all these different churches. And today we're going to read this part of the letter to our church. And we're going to apply it to our lives today. So I want to just start by reading our text for today. And then we're going to unpack it this morning. Hebrews 5, starting in verse 11. There is much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain. He's actually taught, if you look at the context, he's talking about the priesthood, the Melchizedek priesthood. He starts talking about that in chapter 4 and chapter 5, and then he just stops talking about it because it's pretty deep, and it's pretty weighty, and it's pretty heady, and there's a lot to wrap your mind around when you talk about the priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, the Melchizedek priesthood. So he literally puts a pin in it. He actually started talking about it in chapter 2. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. And then right here, he puts a pin in it because it's time for him to sit his kids down and have a little father-to-son chat. And that's what he's doing right here. So he puts a pin in it. By the way, next week, make sure to tune in next week because next week he picks it up again at the end of chapter 5 and into chapter 6. He picks up the whole conversation about the priesthood. And he goes on for like 4 or 5 chapters talking about the priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood, the Melchizedek priesthood, some things that maybe you've never understood, or maybe these are words you're hearing for the very first time. And we're going to get into all of that next week. Next week is our crash course on the priesthood. It's crazy. I've been working on it this week already. I'm so excited. I almost wanted to preach it today, but we got to follow the text and we have to first have a little sit down with y'all and talk about failure to launch. But that's what he's talking about. He says, there's much more we could say about this. This is the Melchizedek priesthood. So come back next week. But he says this, but it's difficult to explain, especially since you're a bunch of morons. Sorry, that's my translation. The NLT says, especially since you're spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. Parents, have you ever said that to your kids before? You can see that the author of Hebrews is taking this paternal tone here. He says, verse 12, you've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you, again, the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need spiritual milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Today we're going to break down these verses, and I'm just going to break it down into three really simple points today about what it looks like to be spiritually mature. What does it look like to be a grown-up instead of an infant? And some of you are here today and you're saying, this is great, I need to know this, because some of you are new Christians. I love this about Alpine at all of our campuses. Every single week, it seems like we've got more people getting baptized, coming to faith in Jesus, meeting Jesus for the first time. I love that. So some of you are here today and you're saying, I am an infant still spiritually. I came to faith 2 months ago or a year ago or 2 years ago, and I want to grow up. So this is a perfect sermon for me. So for some of you, you're like, this is right up your alley. Some of you are Michael Rotundo. Some of you came to faith 20, 30, 40 years ago. And this one's going to sting a little bit more for you. And I'm going to try not to take the tone that the author of Hebrews takes. I'm going to try to be nicer. I'm going to try not to call you babies so much or throw you under the bus, call you morons like he, wait, that was me, never mind. I'm going to just try to help you. I hope you'll have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you today about growing up. And so there are three marks that I see in this text. Number one, spiritual grown-ups don't just read, they study. Spiritual grown-ups don't just read, they study. He says in verse 12, you are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. My mother-in-law gave us a tip for helping our kids when they were newborns to sleep through the night. This is a free tip for all you young parents out there. This is great. It's what my mother-in-law did for my wife when she was 2 months old, and it's what we did for our kids when they were infants as well. Because here's the thing, is when they're just infants and they're just eating milk, that's all they can eat in those first few months, it's just not weighty enough to last through the night, and so they wake up needing more milk. You see where I'm going with this? So my mother-in-law, so many years ago, fed my beautiful wife, Tracy, at 3 months old, mashed potatoes. I don't know if the doctor said that this was okay to do. I'm not sure that she even really cared. But Tracy slept through the night as a result of it, and mom and dad were so much happier, and we did the same thing when our kids were babies as well, and they survived. Quit judging us. That's kind of what he's saying here. He's like, you're babies who need milk and you cannot eat solid food. At some point, you need to move on to the solid food. Now, I want to just say something about milk. First of all, milk isn't bad. Milk right here in this context is, and you can read more of this on your own later, but milk is just, it's like the basic teachings about Jesus. Here at Alpine Church, one of the best ways to think about what milk is, it's The Pursuit. The Pursuit is our little booklet that we give to everyone who's new to Alpine. The Pursuit is hopefully a 12-week series that you've been through with a mentor or with the small group. The Pursuit is just the subtitle on that is Becoming a Follower of Jesus. When we wrote The Pursuit, we were like, what are the basic things that we want to make sure everyone who comes to Alpine Church gets to hear? This is really important. Milk isn't bad. Milk is good. It's important for you to learn the basics. So if you go through The Pursuit, you'll learn about why God loves you, He cares about you, the kind of character that God has, how God views you. Because a lot of people come to church or they come to Alpine and they're like, I don't really, like my picture of God is he's just this vengeful, mean, cosmic judge. And so in lesson one of the pursuit, we just say, God is for you, not against you. And then in lesson two of the pursuit, we talk about how you can trust the Bible. Like the Bible is our guide for everything that we study and read. It's what we talk about every single week at Alpine Church. Like you can trust the Bible. That's lesson two in the pursuit. And then lesson three in the pursuit is about the fact that we're all made in the image of God. Every one of us, men and women, every nationality. And this is the basis for one of the most basic teachings in the Bible, which is that we're supposed to love God and love one another. You don't love other people because they've earned it. You love other people because they're created in the image of God. And so that's lesson three. And then lesson four, we talk about what sin is. And lesson five, we talk about who Jesus is. Because a lot of people have these ideas of Jesus, but they've got the wrong ideas of Jesus. And then in lesson six, it's the pivotal lesson in the pursuit. That's where we talk about putting your faith in Jesus, trusting Jesus for salvation. In lesson seven, we talk about getting baptized. In lesson eight, we talk about the fact that we need God's word and God's spirit and God's people so that we can grow up. And then in lesson nine, we talk about the spiritual disciplines in our lives. So all these things are like super basic. This is the milk. But milk is important. We want people to understand the basics of the biblical message. But what the author of Hebrews is saying is some of you haven't gotten past the pursuit. For some of you, all you've ever done is just skim the surface. And skim milk is just water lying about being milk. Some of you know where that comes from. For some of you, that's your spiritual diet. Your spiritual diet is to come to church, is to worship a little bit, grab your coffee, listen to a 30-minute sermon. Sometimes it's 35 minutes. And that's it. That's all you eat. Now, sometimes a sermon is meaty. Like next week is very meaty about the crash course on the priesthood. But sometimes the sermon is just like super basic. And that's not even the point. The point is that you should be digging into the word on your own, not just when we do it here at church on Sunday mornings. I hope that your diet consists more of just what you hear at church. Now, some of you move on and you say, well, I've been reading my Bible. That's good. But what we're talking about here is going beyond reading to studying. So reading the Bible is good. It's important to read the Bible for yourself and to kind of just allow God's word to speak to you. Devotionally read the Bible. I think that's really good. But studying the Bible is a different thing. It's kind of like the difference between kind of going on a little road trip as a family. And some of y'all are built like this, where you go on this road trip and you're just going from A to B. You're not going to stop. You're not going to read. You're not going to go to any of the historic sites along the way. So I want you to think about which one you are right now. My wife just likes to go from A to B. And I'm like, we have some friends in Fredericksburg, Virginia. And it's like where it's like the battlefields of the Civil War. If you've never been there, you should go there. And every time we go visit our friends, I'm like, honey, let's stop at that battlefield right there. And she's like, let's just get to our friend's house, right? Studying the Bible is stopping to read the landmarkers. It's stopping to understand that within a 20-mile radius, over 100,000 casualties happened in the Fredericksburg area. I hope my wife is listening right now. This is when I talked her into stopping when we go to the one battlefield, the Chancellorsville, just for a minute. Let me talk about this. Okay, just for a minute. We stopped at one battlefield, Chancellorsville battlefield, and that's where Stonewall Jackson was accidentally shot by his own men. And we stopped at another battlefield, and that's where his arm was buried. And then we stopped at a third battlefield, and that's where the rest of his body was buried. Like, you don't learn these things if you don't stop. And this is the importance of studying God's word. Go beyond reading his word to studying his word, because there's so much in the word of God. Just real quick, I want to share one of this Bible study methods. It's called inductive Bible study. Inductive Bible study means that you go to the Word of God and you're not deducing anything. You're not bringing your preconceived notions to the Bible. You're saying, I want to take this passage. You could do it with today's passage. You could do it with so much of this in Hebrews. It's going to the Word of God. It says, I'm not just going to read this, because what we tend to do when we read the Bible is we just read our own story into the Bible. We read our own opinion into the Bible. That's the word for this is eisegesis. Eisegesis means going to the Bible and saying, I'm going to read my situation into the Bible. Exegesis, these are fancy words this morning. Exegesis is when we go, that's the good thing, is when we go to the Word and we say, I'm going to pull out of the Bible what it's actually saying. And good Bible study is exegetical study, not eisegetical, not reading into it your story and what you want it to say, but actually going to the Word and pulling out of it what it has to say. And this, one of the methods for this is called the inductive Bible study. Let me just give you three steps for doing inductive Bible study in your life. Number one is observation. You say, what does it say? Who is it written to? What was the context? Do you know that the Bible wasn't written to you? The Bible was written to a group of people 2,000 years ago. So it's really important to understand what the original intent was so that then you can do the rest of this and pull out how it applies in your life. So step number one is just to observe, what is this about? We're doing this in our Hebrews study. This book of Hebrews was written to a group of Jewish Christians who were going through persecution, and the author is basically just saying to them, don't go back to Judaism, it's not worth it. Jesus is greater than the angels. He's greater than Abraham. He's greater than Moses. Jesus is our great high priest. We're going to learn more about that next week. So that's the context for this whole thing. It's for us, most of us are non-Jews. It's for us to understand this was originally written to Christian Jews, but there's still so much for us in it. So step one is to observe. Step two is to interpret it. What does it mean to the original audience first? What does it mean to them? It was written to them, but it was written for us. For our benefit, but to a specific group of people. Good, proper exegesis understands that. And we try to really get to properly apply it to our lives. We have to first understand how it applied to their lives. This is what Bible study does. Now, again, we try to do that here at Alpine in our sermons, but we want to train you to do that in your own lives every day of the week. And then step number three is application. How does it apply to me? Now that I understand what it's all about, now that I've taken my time to like really dig into this and study this, and at pursuegod.org, we have all these articles to help you to do this. And if you don't have a good Bible commentary, you should pick one of those up as well. But after you do all of this proper observation and interpretation, then you can apply it to your life. Then you could say, how does this apply to me? That's what we're doing today. And so that brings us back to our text for today and to the next point. So first of all, spiritual grown-ups don't just read, they study. But number two, spiritual grown-ups don't just study, they apply. For someone, he says this in verse 13, for someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do, that's the word, what is right. Someone who's a baby still doesn't know how to do. They just know how to study. Have you ever met somebody like that? I have met so many Christians who know their Bible. They know about eisegesis and exegesis and hermeneutics and Melchizedek and Aaronic, and they know all the stuff we're going to be talking about in the next couple of days or couple of weeks, but they actually never apply it to their lives. Their lives aren't changed. You know, one of the best ways to know if your life has changed is you love people. You love people. I know so many Christians who have so much head knowledge and they don't love people. They miss the whole point. Because we're made in the image of God. And so we're supposed, this all of this study and all of this growth and all of this maturity is supposed to convert into actually loving people and applying it in your marriage and in your parenting and in your workplace. And so many Christians are educated beyond their level of obedience. And this is what the author is saying. He's saying, if you're really growing, then you know how to do, not just how to think or study. You know how to do. You know how to apply. Verse 14, it says, solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. That word for training there in Greek is the word gymnazo. Does that sound familiar? It's the word we get our word gymnasium. That's literally what he's saying. It's like, if you're mature, you'll actually train yourself so that you can recognize the difference between right and wrong, so that you have discernment in your life. And boy, do we ever need discernment, don't we? In this world, when we've got all these ideas thrown at us from all this social media, your parents, your kids need discernment. They need discernment. They need to get in the gym, is what he's saying. They need to get in the gym of God's word. Not just so that they get a bunch of head knowledge, but so that they can discern when ideas are thrown at us from all over the place, from the left and the right, by the way, politically. When ideas are thrown at us from the left and the right, and there's plenty of garbage thrown at us from both directions. And those who are mature know how to discern, and then therefore how to apply it in their lives. Later on in the next chapter, there's a warning about not just tasting the goodness of God. It talks about tasting. He continues to use this metaphor of milk and meat. And he talks in the next chapter about tasting the word of God. And basically what he says in the next chapter is, tasting it isn't enough. You need to learn, you need to be able to digest it. You need to be able to walk in the truth and apply what you're learning so that your obedience goes beyond your head knowledge. And that's what a spiritual grown-up does. And then there's one more thing I see in here, and this last thing is the thing that really gets me going. Spiritual grown-ups don't just apply, they teach. He says in verse 12, you have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. When I was in high school, somehow I was identified by the youth pastor in my church youth group. I was identified as a leader. We weren't all identified as leaders, but I was one of the guys that was identified as a leader. He really invested in me and taught me how to invest in others. He expected for me to invest in others. He basically was training me to be a teacher. And guess what? I ended up growing in my faith. I ended up owning my faith, not because I was a listener, but because I was a teacher. One of our desires here at Alpine Church is to give every single person an opportunity to do that. And the reason for that is because here's one of my core beliefs, and it's in the last 3 weeks of the pursuit. I left off on lesson 9, but lesson 10, 11, 12 in the pursuit is all about helping people go full circle so that you're not just a learner, but you're a leader. You're not just a consumer, but you're actually a producer. You're producing disciples. You're teaching other people. The church is for 500 years has been set up where one guy is the teacher and everybody else is just a listener. I think that's broken. And we see this instead in Ephesians 4:14. It says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. What Paul talks about in Ephesians 4 is what the author of Hebrews is talking about in this verse as well, where he's basically saying is, if you teach someone, that's when you grow up. I really believe this. You can't really mature. Some churches teach that you need to be mature before you teach. That's actually not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that you'll never be mature until you teach. Because there are just some things you're going to learn on the job. There are some things you're going to learn as you help somebody else learn them, right? I learned this I've got a master's in math, and I learned this in grad school. We had a study group, and we're all trying to understand this concept that none of us really understood, and I got up there trying to explain it. And as I'm trying to explain it for about 20 or 30 minutes, trying to fake my way through it, to be honest with you, all of a sudden, it clicked. All of a sudden, like I understood it. And what led me to that is trying to explain it, wrestling through the concepts, repeating some of the things that we'd learned in class that semester. And all of a sudden, it just clicked and it's like a puzzle piece came together and I understood it. And this is how it works in our spiritual lives as well. You aren't fully going to understand God's word until you teach it. And this is what Paul's saying in Ephesians chapter 4. This is what I learned in my story in high school. This is what my daughter learned here at Alpine Church. This is what our son learned here at Alpine Church. And both of our kids embrace their faith to this day now that they're in their 20s. And it's not just because their parents taught them. It's because we said, we want you to teach someone else. And this is exactly what the author of Hebrews is saying. He's like, you've been believers so long, you should be teaching. That's the natural next step. But this is what the author is saying. He's saying it's time to grow up. Too many Christians are like Michael Rotondo. Too many Christians have failed to launch. And it doesn't just hurt the cause of the gospel around the world. It hurts us. Because we need to launch for our own growth and our own maturity. And so this is what the author of Hebrews is saying. He's like evicting people like Michael's parents were trying to do. He's evicting us from our comfort zones today. And I hope that you'd hear this today and say, all right, I'm ready. I'm ready to start studying, or I'm ready to actually start applying, or I'm ready to get in the game now and teach somebody else. This is what God's word says to us today. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you are a good parent for us. God, that your vision for us isn't that we just sit in your basement and play video games and feed on the milk and the baby food for the rest of our lives, but that your vision for us is to get us in the game and allow us to grow up and to mature and to own our faith. And that it's not just something then that helps the church or kids' church ministry or the advancement of the gospel around the world, but it helps us. It grows us up and it matures us. And so, Lord, I pray for everyone who's listening today that they would say, this is it. I'm going to launch. I'm getting out of the house. It's time. And I'm going to do something. I'm going to engage in my faith in a different way. I don't want to be a fat baby anymore. I want to be mature. And with the help of God, I will be. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.